He's just a brilliant, awesome dude. And he could probably do the job really well. But the problem with somebody like him is he's not charismatic enough.
Guess who's back?
back again.
Chicks are back.
All right, you guys, make sure that you are subscribed to this podcast. If you are not already subscribed to this one right now, make sure you're right subscribed. There. Put us right in your pocket. Do it. You know, you want to put us in your pocket. And then also check out our link tree. It's chicksontheright.com/links. That's where you can get everything. If you're not already, if you are not subscribed, you don't know where to find us. You can find us there and then find all of our other stuff too. And then go look at all the things. chicksontheright.com/links. Hi, good morning.
Links.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's been a crazy couple days. Good morning. It took me all day to get home yesterday.
Wow. What a whirlwind.
Yeah.
So you guys saw us on Thursday morning and Friday morning CPACing. We were doing our show from the hotel room and we had to cut that last one short because it was a crazy, crazy day. When we say that we were handled, because I think we mentioned that on a Friday show maybe, or maybe the Thursday show, we were handled, you guys. Like, we did not have a moment it was busy from the word go. And what's interesting too is that it wasn't busy because we were attending things. We weren't attending, we didn't see a single speech. We didn't see a single panel. We did not experience CPAC as attendees at all.
No, we didn't. I mean, I peeked in at one point to the room where people speak and, you know, nobody knows who we are. So I peeked in there and they were like, they were like stopping me at the door, you know, as if
like dangerous.
Right. And so I just sort of peeked in. I'm like, who's going to be speaking next? And they were like, it's Steve Bannon. And I was like, all right, well, I'm out. So I just, I really don't need interest to watch him speak. So I just kind of moseyed on. But I mean, you could kind of tell like who was going to be speaking and kind of get a gauge of the crowd and stuff like that. So you could see that how big the room was and things like that. We could see the room. We were right next to it. And we did a lot of time on Radio Row is what we did. We were basically living on Radio Row and TV Row the whole time we were there.
It was interview to interview to interview to interview. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't really ever stop. And so the few breaks that we had were to do things like eat. You know what I mean?
Or when our PR guy let us. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it was very, very busy. And, you know, props to him for getting us into all of the different shows. Like, we did speak to a lot of different radio shows across the country about who the chicks are, what we're trying to do, and the communities that we've built. So that was great. But it was a very different sort of experience. Yes, the funeral picture is gone for the moment because we're going to be painting in here next week.
Look at that.
So the room is all torn apart. But yeah, we didn't experience it the way a CPAC attendee would have experienced it. What we did know, not just from our eyeballs, but also from the word on the street by so many people, is that attendance was down dramatically.
It was
dramatically
bad,
down.
Really bad. Yeah.
It was not crowded at all. Mm-mm. It was not. The last time we went, of course, was 2010. So it was 13 years ago. And we remember lots of kids, lots of students, right? I remember all of the guys from the Citadel that we saw there that were just, you know, in their little uniforms. And there was just a ton of young people there. This year, it was your older crowd, Trump loyalist, wearing like the Trump garb. That was who was there. And that was all that was there.
Not a lot of young people at all. Because we were fully expecting a lot of young people. They just weren't there. It's like, I think they're attending like the TPUSAs and stuff like that now. Like, that is who is attracting the young folks. We were really surprised by that. Like, we heard from the people that we work with that attendance was down. Like, I don't know, gosh, it must've been 50-60%. I mean, I'm just kind of like, I'm spitballing. It may even be 70%. And then ticket prices were really a lot higher this year. So it was, I think CPAC is dying. If they don't, it's on life support, at least. If they don't figure out a way to attract more people, because it's become the Trump show.
Right.
And that is bad. Not because Trump is bad. I mean, you take it or leave it. I mean, Trump, he may be great to a lot of people, but you can't just have it be about one person, you know, because historically that's not what it's been. Historically, it's been about all the candidates. And so it is about him, and that's bad. You know, it has to be about everybody.
And it's not to say that there weren't the other presidential candidates weren't there. They were. Vivek Ramaswamy was there. Nikki Haley gave a speech. Mike Pompeo, who's expected to get in, they all gave speeches. But that was not their crowd at all. That was a Trump crowd, and it was a small crowd.
Right.
So that was.
And then when the straw poll came out, everybody was like, "Oh, well, shocker, he won." Okay. And they were all like, "Well, he won! Yay!" And it's like, really. Like, we all didn't know he was going to win that.
Yeah, that was just odd in every way.
It was really weird this year.
We did have a very unique experience in that we got to have some sit down interview time with Vivek Ramaswamy, and we're going to be releasing bits of that interview and, of course, the full interview at some point this week. That was the story about how that happened. This is a story for the ages. Like, the setup was so crazy because we were in a tiny hotel bedroom. That's where we interviewed him. And so it was just an incredibly crazy setup, but it was a great conversation. We came away feeling like we hope he loosens up a little more, like in future interactions with small groups or one-on-one with people, because he's so intense and so freaking smart.
Yeah.
But he, you ask him a question and he gets going and he's gone. Like, he's talking and he can't stop. And so it's hard to have a conversation, although I thought we did a really good job about finally having one.
Yeah, it took about 10 minutes to get him to kind of loosen up and get on a private, like a personal level, because he definitely does. He takes off, and if I were his PR person, I'd be like, listen, when you do these one-on-one interviews, you just need to chill. You need to just calm down and chill a little bit and not be so in politician mode and person mode, because that's what these people want, especially these two chicks that are not pundits. You know what I mean? Like, they just want to talk to you like a human being. And so just be a human. You know what I mean? Like, answer. Not that he's not. He was lovely to us. Absolutely lovely. But he is so intense that he is still in that politician mode. And I'm sure all day he had been answering questions in that mode that it was hard to get him to like get on that level. He did. He finally did. Like, in the last 10 minutes of the interview, he finally did. He started answering questions like a dad and like a person. And we got him to do that. But man, it took about 10 minutes to get him to do that. But we did. We broke him, you guys. We did.
We're very good at breaking people. Yeah. And so we're going to have a lot of clips and then, of course, the whole video to share later this week. But and we're going to get into some CPAC sound for anybody who didn't watch it, including us. I do have a lot of clips to share with you. But first, I got an email that I wanted to read from Christina Micarelli. I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly, about MyPillow. She said, "Hey, chicks, I had to write you about the funny thing that happened in our house after I ordered the new MyPillow 2.0. I took advantage of code and ordered the new MyPillow 2.0. It arrived on Thursday, and my husband brought the box inside from the front porch. We were watching TV that night, and a MyPillow commercial came on. My husband asked, 'Is that what you ordered?' in a somewhat mocking tone. And I said, 'Why, yes, yes, I did.' He then said, 'Of course you ordered just one.' And I responded with, 'As a matter of fact, I took advantage of code CHICKS, and it was buy one, get one.' I told him I bought one for me, one for our son, and he was kind of miffed. So I gave him our son's. I'll order two more. The next day, the MyPillow commercial came on again, and he said, 'So how was your 2.0? Was it better?' Again, somewhat mockingly. And I said, 'Yeah, I slept well. You?' And he looked at me sheepishly and said, 'Yeah, actually, I did too.'" So, you know, even when they're going to tease you for like jumping on the MyPillow new product train, it's a great train to jump on, you guys, because pretty much everything that Mike Lindell touches in terms of his pillow masterpiece, everything he makes from there turns to gold. It's just so, 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 so high quality stuff. And it's true. There is still that deal where if you go to MyPillow.com/chicks, you can get the brand new temperature regulating MyPillow 2.0 right now. Buy one, get one when you use code CHICKS.
Yes, they're so worth it. They're so awesome. I love the 2.0s.
So awesome. It was so nice to come home and get back to my pillow.
Right.
The hotel, the Gaylord Resort and Convention Center, extraordinary.
It really is.
Hotel.
Highly recommend.
Great for sleeping. Mm-hmm. And like the pillows are nice. They're just not my pillows. No. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, all right, let's get into, before we get into videos, we need to mention that there is a celebrity divorce that is taking place of note, and that is Kellyanne Conway and George Conway.
Yeah. And listen, there was somebody in our group page that was like, we shouldn't celebrate divorce. We should never. But listen, this woman has been putting up with this absolute troll for I don't know how long. And there was a point where I lost respect for her for doing it. I don't like to celebrate divorce either. Divorce is a terrible, terrible thing. You don't want people to get divorced. You don't want to celebrate divorce. But in this particular case, I mean, he was not nice to her.
He was awful.
He was disrespectful to her in every way. And you don't want that. And so she put up with that for way too long. So yes, this is a situation where you're like, it's about damn time. That's how I feel about that.
Yeah, she definitely, that was one that's actually sort of worth celebrating at least a little bit. Because man, she needed to offload that pile of just oily goo.
She just lost about 275 pounds? I don't know. What is that?
Probably that's an underestimate, I think.
God. Maybe her daughter will benefit from this too. Because I feel like her daughter, the oldest one.
She's still such a skank. Such a skank.
So many
Joey's
issues
asking
there.
Whatever happened to their daughter. It's interesting you have that question. Because as soon as we heard about this, I was like, I wonder what Claudia's doing. And I went straight to TikTok to see. She's every day, you guys, she's just posting boobs. Dancing and just looking seductively in the camera.
Like
and just
17.
Wearing as little as possible. That's it.
Yeah, it's just 17. It's like, reel that in, you know? Reel
she's
it in.
Gross. I mean, she's absolutely just vile.
Yeah.
Okay. So we did not see, again, as I said, we did not see any of the speeches that took place at CPAC because we were very, 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 very busy. And if you are a local supporter or a Facebook insider, you got some exclusive photos. You got a couple of fun videos that we made with the rest of our Radio America team. So those are exclusives that only our insiders and supporters had access to. So think about joining if you haven't yet. But as far as the speeches, we did not see them. We just like you probably saw clips after the fact. The first set of clips that you're going to see are sort of the Trump related, for lack of a better word, people. So we have Don Trump Jr. And then we have Steve Bannon, Carrie Lake, and then Trump himself. So there was what I want folks to pay attention to, especially in the Don Jr. clip, is there is a pan out to the audience at one point, and you'll see how kind of sparse the crowd was. Now the scenes of the crowd that you're going to see of the others, I think Steve Bannon's crowd shown a little bit and Trump's crowd too. Those look a little more packed because it's just showing the very upfront people. But as a whole, the room, which is humongous, like it allows thousands and thousands of people, and they just were not full. Like they just were not like your
surprisingly. Yeah. Surprisingly, they were not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the takeaways here is that Don Trump Jr. is very nasty, very mean about Fetterman. Now, I know we've joked about Fetterman plenty, but there's a difference between being in a setting like this and joking amongst our community like this and being on a national stage, an actual stage, and being really, really mean. I mean, just mean, you guys. And then apparently Steve Bannon and folks that follow Steve Bannon are like completely done with Fox News, and they are waging war essentially against Fox News because they don't feel like Fox News is paying enough attention to Trump. Carrie Lake also very tight with this group, very, very tight with Steve Bannon. And then Trump at the end where he makes a joke about the World Health Organization, which I loved. So that's the four clips that you're going to see right out of the gate. Here we go.
Because someone has to, because it's insane what's actually going on, right? And when I said, like, I don't know, it's sort of weird that Pennsylvania managed to elect a vegetable, they criticized me as being ableist. I didn't know what that was, but there's always an IST, right? There's always an IST, and it doesn't matter what you're talking about. And apparently an ableist is someone who discriminates against those with disabilities. I said, well, I'm not discriminating against an ableist. I'd love for John Fetterman to have, like, good gainful employment. Maybe he could be, like, a bad guy at, like, a grocery store or... But, like, is it unreasonable for me to expect, as a citizen of the United States of America, to have a United States senator have basic cognitive function?
Look.
So do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I do think he wants to run for something at some point. And yeah, I think Junior is, yeah, I do think he, at some point, I think that's what his aspirations are. I think he is the one guy in the family, like the one kid in the family that has kind of run this. He's run the course. He's the guy that's going this direction. Eric's
definitely
not.
See him. Yeah. I was going to say he's definitely more front facing than Eric for sure.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I know he's not wrong, but Mock does have a point. I mean, there is a time and a place. It's like we can joke here and everything, but when you're on that stage, I think you could maybe do it in a more, I don't want to say politically correct because I don't like that term, but you can do it in a way where it's like not so mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I just know it was a turnoff to people. And so, listen, there's going to be people here that are like, no, he's not wrong. Okay, like...
Right, he's not wrong.
Okay, so, you don't get turned off by that level of nastiness and that's you. But my point is that other people do get turned off by it.
Right,
and so there's a difference. What's the point of that? You're alienating potential people that you would have in under your umbrella, and then people get turned off by that and are like, I don't want any part of that. I don't want any part of a party that is behaving that way. That's the point.
Right. There's a difference between being, because as Stephanie said, you know, this is why we lose. We're too nice. I mean, there's a difference between being too nice and then actually, you know, saying stuff about somebody's, I don't know, saying that he's a vegetable.
Yeah, you don't necessarily have that term.
Right. I think it was that term. You don't have to maybe use that word exactly.
Yeah. So Steve Bannon, again, you're going to hear how he's mad. He thinks anytime Trump speaks, everybody should be paying attention. And so that's his point right here. Here, take a listen.
Look at Fox News. Look at Fox News. The president announces his, this is historic. A guy gave you 4 years of peace and prosperity, announces he's going to run again after having it stolen in broad daylight, of which they participate in. They cover it live for 20 minutes, and then they say, if there's anything newsworthy, we'll cut back, and they go to some panel and some discussion. Note to Fox senior management, when Donald J. Trump talks, it's newsworthy. What happened in the first week of January? You had Matt Gaetz and Boebert in the Magnificent Six that stood there and put it all on the line. And what did Fox News do? They rolled out Karl Rove and the hacks from the Bush administration that got us in this mess to say, we need unity. We need unity. We're not looking for unity. We're looking for victory.
So that was Steve Bannon. Now, I'll tell you, there is one person who is a huge Steve Bannon fan, and that is Carrie Lake. She headlined a dinner, I guess. And again, we didn't attend any of these sorts of things, but she headlined a dinner and Steve Bannon was in attendance. And here is she had a really interesting nickname for him. Here it is.
Okay.
Steve Bannon is somewhere in the crowd. Where's that patriot? There he is. I love that man. He's a modern day George Washington. I call him the patriotic stud muffin.
She's so good. You guys, she's so going to be the VP candidate.
Trump's going to pick her.
Yeah, she's totally it.
To me, that just makes it even less likely that he can win a general.
I don't know about that. They're
the same person. To me, they are the exact same person, just the male and female version.
The female version.
I don't think that the whole Olin stay Exchanalay is a winning message going into 2024.
I don't think that's a winning message, but I do think that she is attractive to a lot of people. Now Fox, just to back up, the whole Steve Bannon thing, Fox was not present at CPAC because I don't think we mentioned that. They just were not there.
No, they were
like, we're just, Yeah, they were not interested in going to CPAC. And in years past, obviously, they were there. I mean, they were there. Like the Hannitys and all those people were there. This year, nope. Crickets.
Nobody crickets. From Fox.
Nobody.
Not a single reporter.
Which is kind of a statement, you guys. So that was kind of a big deal, not seeing them there. Now, the Newsmaxes and all those people, they were there. But the Fox not being at CPAC, kind of a big deal.
Well, and the RNC not being at CPAC, kind of a big deal. Like, that's a humongous deal. So it's become a very, very tiny group of people now.
Yeah. That's, and it also goes back to the whole notion that we've talked about in our show so many times where we are so fractured.
Yeah.
We're so fractured. Like, you're seeing the split now. You're seeing the split. So like the Foxes and all those people and the RNC has said, nope, we're not going to do. This is the Trump show. Like the CPAC thing was Trump and all of his people. And then everybody else is over here. And so like, you're starting to see like divides, you're starting to see it all happen before our very eyes. So interesting.
That's crazy.
You guys.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. So Trump took the stage, arguably, I'm sure he had the biggest crowd there for the weekend. He spoke on Saturday evening and security was crazy. Like the whole place changed and Secret Service shut down so many parts. We ended up having to go through like an airport style security screen process that was set up in a conference room just to get back to Radio Row on Saturday. So they definitely... they have their crap together when it comes to getting him there safely and keeping the entire building safe. So when he spoke, I have a clip of him talking about, you know, if he becomes president, getting out of the World Health Organization, which I'm a huge fan of that getting out. I'm not a fan of the organization. I'm a fan of us getting out of that again. And he has a new, he has a new definition of the letters for WHO. Here is what he says about them.
And I will implement a 4-year plan to phase out all Chinese imports of essential goods and gain total independence from China. We have to do it. We have to do it. I will hold China financially accountable for unleashing the China virus upon the world. And I will again withdraw from the WHO, which stands for We Hide Outbreaks. We Hide Outbreaks.
I mean, that's pretty clever, actually.
I like that. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I like it a lot. We Hide Outbreaks. It's pretty good. I don't know how long he spoke. Do we know? I know that he was gone before we got back from dinner that night.
Yeah.
So it must have only been like an hour and a half.
He was slated to talk, I think, a half an hour at the most. He may have gone over, but I don't know.
There's no way he spoke for a half hour. There's just no, you know him. There's no way. Yeah.
You think he went long?
Oh my God. You know he went long. Somebody said 2 hours. They're all saying 2 hours. There's no way he spoke for a half hour, 1 hour, 20 minutes, close to 2 hours. There's no way on God's green earth that man spoke for a half hour.
Well, yeah. So there you go.
2.3 hours. I'm seeing it all. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Quick reminder to take advantage. This is what you get when you order your free Jumpstart trial bag of Rough Greens. This is the supplement for your dogs. It's a green powder that you just sprinkle on top of what is already dead dog food, right? This brings your dead dog food to life and it gives your dogs all the things that they need to be healthy and keep their lives as long as possible. And it tastes delicious to them. Dogs love this stuff. You have to try it just to see the difference in energy in your dogs after they've been on it for a few weeks. They feel better. Their coats are shinier. Their breath is better. It does a lot of things. And you can get this for free when you go to roughchicks.com. You can get a free trial bag. You just pay the shipping cost and that's it. And then this will last you, depending on the size of your dog, it can last you at least a few weeks. So check it out. See if your dogs like it. I'm sure they will. And then you can get more for your dogs if you want to do what we like to refer to as like an oil change for your dog. It's just as necessary to get your oil changes for your cars to keep them lasting long. It's the same as true for your dogs. And this is the way to do it. Just visit roughchicks.com. Do it today. All right, more from CPAC. So this next group of videos starts off with Matt Gaetz, who makes a great joke about the spy balloons. Pompeo, we've got the presidential candidates after this. So Pompeo is talking about the kind of the cult of personality and how he hopes that as we make our decision for the next president, we're not looking necessarily at the people who are super big personalities, but people who are great on policy. And kind of in the process, he seems like personality-less. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah. I get what he's saying, but I kind of feel like you do need to have some personality. Mm-hmm. So there's a little clip of that. Nikki Haley also spoke, and she, you know, right now she's big on the whole gender thing, the whole race thing. You're going to hear her talk about that a little. And then lastly, we've got Vivek, who of course we mentioned that we talked to personally. And you guys, when he gets on a stage, and we know this because he told us his process for getting ready for speeches, he does not write speeches. Every time you see him on a stage, whether it's a TED Talk or any kind of campaign speech, that is off the cuff. And that's what makes what you're about to hear even more extraordinary.
It's pretty remarkable. Yeah.
It's amazing. So that's what these four clips are. Here we go.
Got a president who stumbles up and down the stairs of Air Force One as his policies stumble across Europe. I think we had to spend 4 or 5 days asking the Chinese spy balloon what its pronouns were before we were willing to shoot it down.
Okay, that was pretty funny. I will say that. You guys, I cannot get over the fact that he wears so much makeup.
He doesn't wear it. He just had it on for TV.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. I can't get over it. Like when I saw him in person, like he was, you know, very close to me, like walking up and down. I just, these guys, I can't get over the men who wear makeup. Like all, I can't get that out of my head. Mom,
but you're saying it wrong. You're acting like that's how he goes through life. And it's not. Maybe it's made up for TV.
Oh my God. It was so orange. I just can't. There was so much makeup on this dude. I can't.
It was very, but we know from being on TV, like they put pounds and pounds of makeup
on. Sure.
It's horrible.
Yes, I know. It's just so crazy. Like when you see them walking like next to you and you're just like, God, you don't look human. Like it's just crazy.
It kind of looks like they're the wax museum versions of themselves.
Yes. Like, I'm just like, it's just bizarre. It's so bizarre. And not only that, but like we saw him and we saw Marjorie Taylor Greene. Mm. Like he wasn't mopped. Marjorie Taylor Greene's, I don't think we have any clips of her.
No.
I don't think we show her at all today. Marjorie Taylor Greene, that was one thing that was really annoying. Is she would walk down the hall and like just mobs of people, tons of people would just surround her and like lights and cameras. It's like she was freaking Madonna in the 80s, like walking down the halls.
And you can tell that is her jam.
I was like
that
what
is what her and Lauren Boebert both, they Lauren love Boebert that.
Wasn't, I don't think Lauren was as bad. Lauren but wasn't.
When she first came down Radio Row, she had an entourage. Like it was a mob of people.
But it wasn't half as bad for her. She was like, she would actually stand and you could see she wasn't surrounded by people all the time. But Marjorie Taylor Greene, MTG, was surrounded all the time. I mean, there were just like people around her, like asking for autographs. It's just, why do we do this with people? Why do we do this with politicians?
Never do that with celebrity. Yeah, with politicians, it's just like we create celebrities, and then this is what we're always complaining. Why do Congress people make so much money? Because we make them into celebrities.
It's stupid.
This is what happens. I mean, it's
really stupid. Like I was like, this is dumb. She's a politician. This is really stupid. Yeah. Stop it. Stop treating her like she's some sort of, you know, stop fawning over her like she's a celebrity, because she's not. She's here to do a job. You know, that's what we pay her to do, a job. Let her do her job. You know? Yeah. Anyway,
it's just
odd. Anyways, he wore a lot of makeup. I like what he said. He was just wearing a lot of makeup. Continue.
Right. Go ahead. Okay, so next, the three two presidential candidates for sure. Pompeo, I don't think, has announced yet, but those are what you're going to hear next.
Don't hand that government more power under the guise of conservatism. We shouldn't look for larger-than-life personalities, but rather we should find power in the rooms like this one, people all across the country. And I'm confident we're going to get that. A renewed dedication to accountability, personal responsibility, and results. This is the thing that has made the conservative movement and our party successful for decades. We can't become the left, following celebrity leaders with their own brand of identity politics, those with fragile egos who refuse to acknowledge reality. This is a tough world, both abroad and here. And we can't shift blame to others, but must accept the responsibility that comes to those of us who step forward and lead.
He's nervous.
No.
The only.
But, I mean, you could see that was all a dig at Trump. All of he that was, yeah, was, he was directed at Trump.
It was. And he was nervous.
Yeah.
I've seen him speak locally and he was not like that. He was actually a little more charismatic. You could tell he was really freaking nervous there. It was kind of strange.
Well, like, you didn't hear a lot of reaction, right? Like, I'm assuming that crowd was teeny tiny.
Yeah. And he was slipping up. Like, he was kind of messing up his speech patterns and stuff like that. So, God bless him. I mean, he wants to run for president. He's lost a bunch of weight. He's had PR, he had like a PR team that helped him get to where he is now. And he's like practicing his speech and stuff like that. The thing about him, about Pompeo, is he's a brilliant guy. He's just a brilliant, awesome dude. And he could probably do the job really well. But the problem with somebody like him is he's not charismatic enough.
Yeah.
It's like nowadays,
what he's complaining about, right? He's like, don't follow cult of personality stuff. Yeah. But
you have to have that now.
Have a little of that.
Now it's all about the cult of personality. Now it's all about charisma. It's all about being good on TV. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hate to say it, but that's why people love Trump so much. It's all about getting up there and being flashy and like having the tigers and the dancing girls. This is what people love. This is like, this is what it's about now. And he just does not have that. Sucks. That's what it's all about.
All right. Here is Nikki Haley during her speech. I don't know how, again, since we weren't at any of these, I don't know how well attended it was, but here is part of what she said.
The competition Democrats want is the one on who's most triggered. We need families who are thriving and confident. But liberals have given them the highest inflation in 40 years and the lowest confidence in history. And we need our military to be stronger than ever. But what does Joe Biden have our troops doing? Taking gender pronoun classes. Now, I'm the wife of a combat veteran, and that disgusts me. Our troops already know the difference between men and women. They also know that we need a different commander in chief. It's not just our military. On Biden and Harris's watch, this woke self-loathing has swept our country. It's in the classroom, the boardroom, and the back rooms of government. We're told our country is flawed, rotten, and full of hate. Joe and Kamala even say that America's racist. Wokeness is a virus more dangerous than any pandemic, hands down. I have traveled the world and back, and I've seen what's out there. America isn't perfect, but the principles at the heart of America are perfect. And take it from me, the first minority female governor in history, America is not a racist country.
So that was Nikki. What'd you think of that?
I started getting tired in the first like couple seconds.
Really?
I mean, it's like, it's fine. It was a fine speech. I just think she's, listen, you know how much I love Nikki Haley. I do. I just think that it's stuff that we've heard before. There's just like nothing new. You know what I mean? There's nothing. I'm not excited when
I
hear
it's her. Because she, I mean, you know, obviously she was relying heavily on her notes. Do you think that had something to do with it? Would it have been better had she been like able to just really look at the crowd and maybe have teleprompters instead? Yeah. I wondered about that too.
Part of it was just, I just was not super excited, you know? I was zoning out. I was zoning out like Jill, exact same thing. I was just kind of sort of like, okay. You know what I mean? It was like any other speech.
Compare that and the Pompeo clip that you just saw to the energy level of Vivek Ramaswamy, who you're about to see. And then keep in mind, as we found out from him personally, this is not something he wrote down. Okay. This is just something that that was on his mind, on his heart, and he just went for it. Take a listen.
Merit, free speech, open debate, self-governance over aristocracy. These are radical ideas. Most of human history, it was done the other way. Old world Europe didn't do it this way. We did it this way for a reason, because we're different. We're Americans. And if we embrace that, that is our formula to actually deliver, I think, the most unifying thing we could deliver for the country in 2024. And it's this. Don't believe it when they tell you it's about Republicans and Democrats. artificial distinctions. What really matters in this country is a battle between the managerial class and the everyday citizen, between the Great Reset and the Great Uprising, between the pro-American movement, do you believe in this country and are you willing to stand for it, or the anti-American movement, which apologizes what this country stands for.
I mean,
he's really is fantastic. Like you when you talk to him in person, it's like you are riveted. I mean, you are riveted. You're sitting with him and he's legit, you guys. I mean, he really is legit. I do think though, like it's like we said, I mean, he's like talking to your soul when you're sitting with him, because you're just like, oh my God.
It's yeah. Just, you're so intense.
You can't move, like when you're sitting there and you're talking to him and everything. But then, you know, once you start, it's like, God, I got to talk to this guy on a personal level. I just want to talk to him. And then you start talking to him. And we were talking to him about stuff like his family, because we started asking him questions about his family. And I want to know about how his wife feels about this. You know, I want to talk to him about his kids. You know, that's who we are as people. I want to know who you are. You know, who are you? I don't want to know so much. I want to, because I already know what your policies are. I've already read your policy crap. I know you want to like dismantle the Department of Ed. I want to know like what maybe some of the things you want to dismantle. Like, I'm cool with that. But who are you, you know, as a person? And so when we started getting to some of those things, that was pretty cool. Cause I think he started going, okay, I can breathe a little.
Right. Right.
Schmicks, which was nice. I wish I would have had another half hour with him. Cause yeah. I think we could have broken him like a stallion. You know what I mean?
Well, hopefully we'll have him back on the show to do another deep dive where it's a little calmer. I mean, that was a chaotic situation that we were in. And so, yeah, I would love to have another chance to talk to him again. And I'm hoping that we'll talk to Nikki as well. I mean, I would like to talk to all these folks.
I think so too, because that's the kind of stuff, if you get him off of these stages and you can just talk to them like people, I'd love to do that with Trump. I wish we would have had some time with Trump. I would have loved to have just gotten him on a level that is not so politician-y.
Right.
You know? And so, because that's where I think, I don't know, that's what I like to talk to people like that. It's like, okay, just cut the bullshit and let's just talk like people. And then and then we can get real with one another about some stuff, because I think they get on these stages and then I check out, man, you know?
Yeah. And somebody was asking, well, why'd you even go to CPAC? Listen, we weren't particularly interested in going to CPAC. This is something that our full team at Radio America thought was important for us to do. And so we did it. And it's been a long time since we've gone. We got to meet a lot of folks on Radio Row. And so, you know, it was worthwhile. And certainly that interview made it worthwhile. Absolutely. So I'm glad we went. But yes, you're right. We didn't go like the way that a regular person goes to see the speeches and all that stuff. So anyway.
Yeah. A lot of it was so we could talk to a lot of other outlets. You know, we talked to a lot of radio programs. We did a lot of outreach. We did a lot of that stuff. And so, yeah, we went for a lot of different reasons than the normal person goes to CPAC. We got to see it from a different perspective. So, and we talked to a lot of cool people, you know, like we talked to Moms for Liberty. We talked to a lot of different outlets. And so that was fun. And we got to do that. We were exhausted, but it was fun. Yeah,
it was good. Mm-hmm. Also, in case you guys haven't heard, Michael Knowles gave a speech at CPAC, and he was talking about transgender issues. And now there is all kinds of hullabaloo that has come out of this, because in his speech, he was talking about the ideology of transgenderism. And you all know, we've talked about it many, 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 many times on this show about how dangerous of an ideology it can be, particularly from the activist part of that community. So he was talking about that. And he said in there that the ideology of transgenderism needs to be eradicated. Well, Daily Beast and other outlets wrote a headline that said, Michael Knowles calls for the eradication of transgender people, which is not what he said, like at all. So I have the clip of what he said exactly. And then you should know that he is now threatening lawsuits against everybody. I mean, like everybody. So here is what he said.
Transgenderism is false, as it is. If men really can't become women, as they cannot, then it's false for everybody too. And if it's false, then we should not indulge it. Especially since that indulgence requires taking away the rights and customs of so many people. If it is false, then for the good of society, and especially for the good of the poor people who have fallen prey to this confusion, transgenderism must be eradicated from public life entirely. The whole preposterous ideology at every level.
So it's interesting because the pushback is, his pushback is, I didn't say anything about transgender people being eradicated. But if you look up the definition of transgenderism, it obviously includes the people who are part of that community. So it's being interpreted, you know, in different ways. Some people are like, oh, my God, he's calling for the mass genocide of trans people, which I don't, I absolutely do not think he's doing that.
No,
right?
I don't think he is either.
But can he make a lawsuit out of that? I don't know, because of the, you know, the nuance of that interpretation.
Right. Yeah, because the wording, it's like, what, okay, well, what did you mean?
Right, exactly. So it's going to be really, really fun to watch that unfold, just even from a legal perspective. I will be so curious to see, does that count as something that was libelous or defamatory or whatever. Right. I don't know. I don't know if he's going to have a case or not, but that is a thing that's happening.
Yeah. Cause I mean, he didn't say, I'm calling for the genocide of like a transgender people. He didn't say that.
Right.
He didn't say that, but he did say, you know, the eradication of transgenderism. Okay. Well, what exactly does that mean? He didn't explain it. So maybe he should just explain what you meant.
And he feels like he was clear because you even heard at the end of that clip, he was saying the whole preposterous ideology should be eradicated. Mm-hmm. But he used the word transgenderism. And so the definition of that includes the people, and that's why it's causing all of this hullabaloo. So anyway, that's a story that we'll continue to follow. Meanwhile, while all CPAC was going on, Ron DeSantis, as you know, he snubbed the whole thing. Like he had absolutely no intention of participating in CPAC. And in fact, he went all the way to California to give a speech in front of almost 1,500 people in California. That's how many people came out to see him. He had a very good group, good crowd for his speech. And I know he hasn't announced yet, but he is sure sounding like he's gonna. So I have three clips sort of smushed together of him. First, where he's ripping on California right at the beginning, which I loved. Second, he's talking about why he never looks at polls and how he thinks a leader needs to behave when it comes to poll watching. And then lastly, talking about how he plans. This is the part that I thought was really interesting because he's talking about how he plans to leave Florida for the next governor, which I thought was really interesting for someone who hasn't yet announced that he's not going to be governor again. Right.
I thought for sure he was going to do it this weekend.
There were rumors about that.
I thought for sure. And I was like, I can't believe he didn't do it. Like, what in the hell is he waiting for?
I just think he's loving it. The teams. I think he's loving the teams. God.
So just do it. I was like, a Saturday night would have been a perfect, or whenever that day was that he gave this, I'm assuming it was Saturday that he gave the speech.
I think it was yesterday.
Was yesterday? Oh, so Sunday. Mm-hmm. Like that would have been a perfect opportunity for him to announce that he's running. In California, like, would that not have been the best place to drop that bomb?
Well, but then then there would have been people that were like, he's just trying to stick it to Trump and like take away his thunder. I mean, there could have been all kinds of whatever.
They're always going to say that. Just do it.
I know. I don't know what's keeping him at this point because every speech he makes, he definitely sounds more presidential. And actually, and you guys know, I don't need to tell anybody that I am a huge Ron DeSantis fan. But I will say, trying to be as objective as possible, I feel like he really strikes the perfect balance between the absolute intensity of a Vivek versus the total dry boringness of a Pompeo. I feel like he is right smack dab perfectly balanced when it comes to the energy level that he has during a speech. So see if you guys think that too. Here are the three clips smooshed together.
Oh, California. I know you guys got a lot of problems out here, but your governor's very concerned about what we're doing in Florida, so I figured I had to come by. We did that without consulting polls. I never looked at a single poll my entire time as governor. A leader is not captive to polls. A leader will help shape and lead the public's opinion. If they see you put out a vision, if they see you execute on that vision and produce good results, the people will follow. And I made that bet that those 32,000 votes, if I was bold, I wouldn't get fewer votes. I'd end up expanding my base of support. But to do that, we understood that we had to have good personnel working in the administration. I laid down the law very clearly. If you have any other agenda but the best interests of the people of Florida and supporting what we were elected to do, pack your bags and leave, because we're not going to tolerate that. And we had to do some stuff early on, but I can tell you in 4 years, you didn't see our administration leaking like a sieve. You didn't see a lot of drama or palace intrigue. What you saw was surgical precision execution, day after day after day. And because we did that, we beat the left day after day after day. I sat down at my desk the first day as governor over 4 years ago. I looked around the office and I said, I don't know who's going to succeed me here, but they are not going to have very much to do, because I'm not leaving any meat on that bone. I am going to take care of all the business that I possibly can. And so that was what we did. And the result was we went from winning by 32,000 votes in 2018 to winning by over 1.5 million votes in 2022. It was we earned the largest percentage of the vote that any Republican governor candidate received in Florida history. Our 1.5 million vote margin was by far the largest raw vote margin in any governor's race in Florida history.
Anyway, then he went on to talk a little bit about how he won really, really big with Hispanics, with women, with all these different groups that have not traditionally gone for Republicans. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it was good.
God, our comments are all over the place.
Yeah.
Just reading comments. Like, some people are like, it's crazy. Like, to see some of the things that people believe too. Like, oh, I heard he's in the bag with Soros and all.
Oh my God. I'm so tired of the rhino accusations.
I wish people would read instead of just reading headlines. Like, I just wish people would do that. That's all I ask. Listen, I'm not in the bag for anybody. I'm one of those people. It's like it may be that DeSantis is Mock's choice. I'm the girl that I like to wait until everybody's on the stage, and then I like to look at the whole litter, and then I'm going to pick who I want out of the litter. That's how I have been with every election cycle. I want to see everybody. I haven't picked anybody yet because I want to see all my choices.
I'm hoping that it's not going to get too much bigger. You know what I mean? Because if we're already looking at a debate, in August, people who are going to get in probably need to go ahead and get in within these next 2 months or so, right? Because they got to get their whole teams in order. There's a lot to do to have a campaign ready to go.
They're already doing that, though. They're doing it. They're just doing it behind the scenes. You know, it's like they're doing it and then they're waiting. They're kind of like jockeying for a position, kind of waiting to see how things are going to play out. Because, you know, all of the debates start in August. You guys, that is right around the corner, but there's going to be a lot more people that get in and throw their hats in the race. It's going to happen. We're going to have the biggest shit show. It's going to be.
See, look at Georgianne. Georgianne's like, I don't like who's backing Ron. Why do you give a crap who is backing him? All you need to be focused on is what has Ron DeSantis done? You need to look at his accomplishments and not, who cares if Jeb Bush thinks he's great or if Karl Rove thinks he's great? Why are you letting them make your decision? Look at the results. Has he done conservative things? Has he fought against the things that conservatives care about? Yes. And he's done it overwhelmingly better than every other governor in the country. So why? I it makes me insane when people are like, well, look, this horrible person over here likes DeSantis. I don't give a shit. I care about what he does. And that is what I would hope other people would care about.
Well, I find it interesting that people care about who, you know, who says, I like him. Like if Jeb says, I like him, but yet we make fun of the liberals who have celebrities endorse them. We're like, who cares who likes, you know, a liberal, you know, a person on the left. It's like, we make fun of the celebrities who endorse these candidates on the left. And we'll say, that's just ridiculous that they're endorsing these candidates, but yet we'll do the same thing on the right. Why would you care? You shouldn't care at all. I don't care who Mock wants to vote for. And she's my best friend. I don't give a shite who she's going to vote for. I don't care. Her choices have nothing to do with my choices. And she's my best friend. I don't care if she wants to vote for DeSantis. Her choices have no bearing on my decisions. I'm a grown ass woman.
And I can guarantee you that she is not going to make her selection based on what anybody else thinks.
No.
She's going to make it on results. I would hope that that is true for everybody, but clearly it's not. Everyone's like, oh my God, well, he's a rhino because he talks to Kevin McCarthy. Oh God, he's horrible then. I guess we'll just have to erase and forget about every good thing that he's ever done because he's had a conversation with people that you don't like.
I would hope that everybody would make an educated decision based on a lot of different factors and not on who Jeb Bush is or is not voting for. I mean, it's just the dumbest thing. Stop it. Stop doing that.
And so, and the people who are saying, well, if you're basing it on results, Trump should be your man. I love Trump's results. Absolutely. But there are also things that he has to answer for, like his continued promotion of the vaccine. So there's a lot of things that I don't agree with Trump about, and I don't like all of his drama. So I feel like he helped DeSantis in that first election. Then DeSantis just exploded without his help and made his second reelection even way, way bigger because of what he achieved on his own, not with Trump, but on his own in the state of Florida. So again, You guys don't look at me and Daisy as the problem because we're going to vote for the nominee. It's the people who are only Trumpers or never Trumpers that are the problem. And we are neither of those things.
Yeah, because we're in a position now where it's not in the bag. And you know what? This country is so in trouble. Like we are on a downward spiral. We're literally circling the drain. It should be in the bag. Like the fact that Joe Biden has run this country into the ground. There should be no issue. We should win this election like that. And it's not in the bag. And that is terrifying. It's terrifying that we're in a position that we could actually not win this election because we are so divided. And that sucks. That sucks. That's what sucks about our party. Is that
it'll be contentious in the primaries as it always is because we all like have our favorites. But I would hope that when it comes down to the general, that everybody gets on board. Everybody, whether you're a Trump person or a DeSantis person or a Nikki person or whoever, we should get on board.
But I'm not certain that will happen.
I know.
And that's what really bothers me about our party. We've always said, I've always said that Democrats are really good at rallying. We said that in a couple interviews when we were at CPAC. Democrats are great at rallying. We're just not. And I really wish that we were, you know, because if there's one thing that we should all agree on, it's that
Joe Biden country, sucks.
What now?
That Joe Biden sucks and we got to get rid of him.
Right. That Joe Biden sucks and and Democrats are freaking commies right now. And we should all be battling that. We should all be combating that together. I mean, good Lord. Yeah. We should all agree on that. Right.
Yeah. I think because we're late, I think we're going to leave. I was going to have, I wanted to show you an interview, you guys, from Marianne Williamson, because, you know, she is also running for president on the Democrat side.
You have to.
Well, but I had Bernie. I had so many things that I wanted to get to that I just don't think we're going to get to today because it's already so late. But the reason for my name today, just so you know, is in honor of Nina Jankowicz, who, if you don't remember that name, that is the woman who was put in charge of basically being the minister of truth at DHS. You guys remember when there was going to be that whole disinformation department?
She was the singer, right? She's the one that sang all this stuff. Yeah.
Yes. And she was absolutely a psychopath. And so everybody reported on her and like her crazy singing videos. And she was just, she was crazy, crazy. Well, now she is doing a GoFundMe to try to get people to pay all of her legal expenses so that she can sue everyone who was mean to her, everyone who said mean things about her, because she doesn't understand First Amendment rights at all, clearly. So here's just a little bit of her little pitch to people to send her money. And I think she's going for $100,000. Last night she was at $12,000. It could be more. People were sending hate money to her. Like they were sending her the minimum of $5 just so they could write in the comments, "You're a fraud, you're horrible." And I'm like, people, don't send her money. What are you doing? But here's a little bit of her pitch to get money.
My name is Nina Jankowicz. I'm asking for your financial support of a lawsuit I want to bring against Fox News for their malicious, reckless lies against me. A year ago today, I realized a lifelong dream and entered public service as a U.S. government
official. She should have been singing with like a ukulele.
I spent the better part of a decade working on both sides of the aisle to counter disinformation. I've published 2 books.
Oh my God, I can't.
And I've always been an advocate for free expression. The main thesis of my work is we can't fight disinformation simply by removing content or restricting speech.
It goes,
she's like, I've always been an advocate for free expression and free speech, but I don't think Fox should have it.
Yeah, but I just don't want anybody to say anything mean about me.
I just don't want anybody else to have it. I just want me to have it. So I want to raise $100,000 to sue people.
And I want you to pay for it. Everybody else needs to pay
it. How can she not see what she's doing?
Isn't it amazing?
These people are morons. God.
I had to show that because that's the whole reason for my name today being Nina Makowicz.
She's getting money. She's actually getting money.
I wouldn't be surprised if she meets the goal. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised.
What a freaking racket.
And how much did she spend creating that highly produced video?
Oh, yeah. I know, right?
I mean, what the hell?
I can't. I cannot. Anyway, you know, it was somebody from MSNBC who created that for her.
Probably.
Listen, I'll do it on the side. I'll do it on the side.
All right. Let's get to your whack and then have some good stuff at the end.
All right. My whack, you guys. It's an MSU professor. Somebody sent this to us. It's an MSU professor. Tell the story first. Okay. It's Amy Wisner, who's a professor at Michigan State University. She's on temporary leave now, and she required her students, she's a marketing communications professor. She required her students to enroll in, or actually, I'm sorry, to purchase an annually renewing subscription. So it would annually renew. It's $99. It's a subscription to her personal, quote, patriarchy rebellion community website. Okay. So this is just a website. It's called the Rebellion Community. And it's a like a Facebook kind of thing. It's a Facebook community. And it's a safe space, a safe place to coordinate efforts to burn. Okay. I hope there are nobody no kids or grandmas or anything. Hide your kids, hide your wives. It says the Rebellion Community is a safe place to coordinate our efforts to burn everything to the fucking ground. That's what it actually says. Okay. And then she added that 100% of membership fees are donated to Planned Parenthood. And there's of course a picture of RBG. And so now she's taken all this money. She has like tons of students. She has like more than 600 students enrolled in her course in this semester alone.
Oh my God, I have to do that math.
So she gets So there's tens of thousands of dollars that she's taken. Okay. So during one class
session. So that's $60,000 for one semester.
Right. For one semester.
She just gets that.
Just for one semester. Right. So of course people have reported this. Now she's on leave now, but I think she's teaching at University of Michigan too. This is what I read in the comments. So she's on leave from one place, I think Michigan State, but she's still teaching, I think, at another college. Anyways, people were bitching about it. And she said she told students that the revenue is used to bring in guest speakers, but the GoFundMe states that she's using the funds to buy herself a Rebellion RV.
Oh my God.
I don't even know like what that means. Okay. Right. And she says 100% of membership fees are used for awareness, education, activism for a bully-free future. And of course her Facebook post claims that everything goes to Planned Parenthood, which is a bunch of crap. But even if that was the case, like, could you imagine being a conservative student being forced to give $100 basically to this thing? And like being in this class with this crazy lunatic liberal professor who's like gouging you of money, which you've already paid for tuition. You're already paying room and board. You're already paying for probably books for this class, if she even uses a book. And then you have to give this broad $99. Like
how? I mean, I can't. Is she on leave because this is being investigated? Yeah, it should be massively against policy.
She should be fired.
Yeah.
She should be fired for this. Like, I can't. This is why I have anxiety about sending my kid to college. I have like extreme anxiety. Like all these people should be just uprooted and taken out of these schools. This is why you read online, like what 99% of professors are raging libs. This is what's happening to your kids. This is why when you send your kid to college and they go in as a conservative, they come out as a blue-haired freak. This is why, because of these broads. This is what they do. They completely brainwash your kid. And so it's not okay. Like, they all need to be fired, all of them. And we need to start over. I swear, it's too expensive. It's not worth it. And these people are not teaching your kids what you've sent them in there to have them taught. Yeah, Hillsdale College. And so in like Liberty. It's yeah. like the only two that are left that are normal. It's, gosh. Yeah. We need to rip them all out of there, you guys. It's out of control.
Oh my gosh.
Whack. That's what's happening.
I hope that they, I hope that there is a penalty for this, that she is fired. That's, I don't see how a professor can just say, hey, if you sign up for my class, randomly you have to pay me $100.
$100. For my website that like it all goes to, it doesn't go to Planned Parenthood. It's going to her.
Yeah.
Think of how much money she has completely gouged from these kids.
Wow.
Really from their parents.
$60,000 a semester.
One semester.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
And think of how many semesters, God only knows how many semesters she's been doing this. Think about that. Yeah. She's just pocketing that money.
How did this come out? Like, was there a whistleblower of some kind?
I'm assuming, yeah. That like there was probably a kid that said, this is bullshit. I'm not going to do this. God. Yeah. That would have been my kid. Would have been my kid, because she would have been like, mom, this is happening. And I don't, marketing communications, that's the class. And that's not even marketing communications, you guys. Like, think of what she's supposed to be teaching these kids. Oh my God. Out of control. Cash, everybody misses you. Come on. Get your butt up.
It's,
get your giant butt up. Come on. We're bringing it in. Come on. He's like, I don't know. I think I'm going to go look out the window. With my giant balls.
He's like, I'm going to just show you my entire backside. Show you
my entire ballular area. Come on. Are you going to come over here? Come here. Say goodbye to everybody. Come on. There was already a premature flap.
All right. We got premature a flappy flap.
You got a flap. Okay. Everybody got the flap. Yeah.
Premature flapulation.
Premature flapulation for everybody. You guys have the greatest Monday of your lives. Make it count.
For real. Have
Do
it.
It. Do Just it. Just right have now. It. We're imploring you to have the greatest Monday of your lives. No pressure. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.